Good morning, church. It's good to be back again. I hope that you are in your comfy of your pajamas or in front of the TV or with your take out your gadget. But most of all, I would like you to take out your Bible. If you can put your Bible aside, and then so that we, as we go through, you can refer back to the Bible if you want to. And it's one of the documents that God has given us that to maintain and to sustain our salvation. And Lord, and I just thank you so much that today we are able to come here and actually and share with you this message about the good news. Now, how many of you have been reading news or watching news over the TV or listen to radios? And there's so much news going on at the moment. But we can all know that the news all come down to the pandemic. Everywhere you look at every news that you as you turn on the TV, you find that it's the only one thing that most people are concerned are mainly what's going on, what happened. I remember when I was a kid, when I was a boy, my father used to come back from work and he would give me some money and ask me to walk a kilometer just to get a newspaper, just want to know what's on the news, what's happening. Now, news, what is news to you? There are good news, there are bad news. How do you react to good news and bad news? When you listen to the news, the same news might have different reaction to different people. From what I see, there are two reactions. Mainly, they are good news and bad news. Same piece of news, just like Melbourne. This week on Wednesday, we were being sucked into that life behind a mask. So, how do you react to this news? For some people who are caring, people who see that news as an opportunity, a good news that is given to us. That we finally have a news that put a safety precaution to keep everybody safe. But for some people, they find that this news is a bad news because it ripped me off my freedom. So what is it to you? Is wearing a mask a good news or a bad news? So this is just one illustration for you. There's so many news out there. But how do we know whether this is good news or bad news? I think it depends on your attitude. Of how you react, how you embrace to the news. Whether you see the news as an opportunity to serve or an opportunity to actually get depressed about it. Now, it's just like this, when I look at the news, it's just like the good news and bad news. It's just like a transformation in Christ, in Jesus. When you hear the news of Christ, how Jesus has died for us, how he has come and saved us, from our sin. What is your reaction? How is your attitude towards this news? Is this a new good news or a bad news to you? For people who feel that, who treat this as a good news, they embrace the transformation. They embrace the new life in Jesus. For people who hear the news, they felt it's bad news because they felt that God is coming here to punish them. That's not true. According to what the Bible has told us, it's not that God wanted to punish us. God has just warned us through his Bible, through his words, through the words that is given to us as humankind, for us to think about it. If you don't go, if you don't submit to this God, if you don't receive Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, then you are simply choosing the path down the wrath of God. So God did not choose that. We make the choice for that. So the transformation is, all depends on your attitude, on your response to this news that you receive. So what is the news to you? What is this good news of Jesus to you? Can you embrace, would you rather embrace in this new normal in Jesus? Or you want to hang on to your old past, the sinful past? Now today I come to the topic of John. I want you guys to travel with me. I know we are in a lockdown right now. I'm not asking you to break the law, all right? But we're simply going to go through a journey. A journey that is going to be a long-term journey. We're going to take this journey slow, all right? And we want, I'm And it's a long project that I have. It's my first project, in fact, with Ringwood Community Church that I want to put in place so that we can come together for this long-term project of the to go through the Gospel of John, the book of John in the Bible. So there are 21 chapters in this. So I reckon if we cover 4 or 5 chapters in a year, we're probably going to get through by 2024. So I hope that this will be a journey that you enjoy, with fellowship, with fun. You can enjoy all this. So why do I take that long? Now, probably we can cover in a shorter time. But I think that covering this project is ongoing project. It's a long project that we're going to go through. But in the midst, along the way, we will have some other themes or some other smaller projects that we would like to explore. So that's why, so that we can have more flavors through our Sunday services, our Sunday live stream. I hope that you'll hang on and join me on this course. Now, for the book of John, today I'm going to give you a brief introduction just to warm you up. And then next week, we're going to get into the real thing, right? Starting from chapter 1, verse 1 of John. Today, I'm going to give you an introduction and hope that it will stir and it will help you to see the overview, the big picture of why is the Gospel of John a good news for the world. The outcome of this project in the next few years, or maybe for people might be earlier, there's only 2 outcomes I wish and pray that it will come out. One is that at the end of this, or maybe from beginning of it, you're stirred by the Spirit, you would want to read your Bible. And when I say read your Bible, you read it diligently. You read it daily. You don't read it because it's a rule that the church set for you, or I set a project for you. You want to read the Bible because you know there's news in there. There's news just like the newspaper that we refer to. How do you react to this? And it's based on your diligently reading your Bible on a daily basis. However short or however long, as I always encourage people, if you want to read your Bible, if you are new to reading your Bible, challenge yourself to read 5 minutes a day. Can you read 5 minutes again? And reflect on that 5 minutes you read. And the second outcome I would like to see is that hopefully that through reading the Bible, the Spirit will inspire you through the Word of God and transform your experience. How many times do we will lead by our experience in our life instead of allowing the Spirit to transform our experience through the Word of God? So to become an effective disciple, effective witness for Jesus is the outcome that I want from this. It's to see that all disciples, all followers of Jesus Christ, are convinced that this is not just the gospel for us, but also for a gospel for you, a gospel for the whole world. So the introduction, let's begin with the introduction. Now in the Bible, there are 4 gospels. 4 gospel books: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, for those of you who read the Bible. But have you ever thought, why do we need 4? Can't we just get away with just 1? And the reason of this is, the way I say it is that Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it gives you 4. It's sort of like a 4D gospel. 4 dimensional. It gives you 4 aspects, 4 perspectives, seeing from 4 different directions of Jesus. Just like when you are standing in front of a house, your house, if you just look at the front door, you only see 1 view. But you can't say that you have seen the whole house unless you go around the house and see every face so that you can assimilate well of the house, right? So it's just the same as the gospel book. Why God gave us these 4 gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, as the foundation of the gospel? When they team up together, it becomes the foundation of the gospel that we have today. Because we can see from every aspect of Jesus, and we can come to a conclusion that Jesus is real. He's the real deal. So let's go back to John. Why do I pick John? Why not the other 3 gospels? As you can see from the table, from the chart today, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are very different. Each of them is looking into Jesus' life in a different perspective. For Matthew, he looked for the kingship in Jesus. Mark, he looked for the servanthood. And Luke looked for the manhood of Jesus. And John is different. He's looking for the godliness in Jesus. That is very different. That's a huge thing. And as you can see, the other three gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, are categorized as synoptic gospel. Synoptic gospel means they all share a similar view. They all write the account of Jesus, the account of Jesus' work on earth in a human form. So they look at that in that perspective. Whereas John is different. Lord John looked at Jesus with his heavenly origin, all his teaching, and he focused on his teaching, not so much of his work. And then when you compare the four of them, there's no parable in John's. All John ever used was metaphor. Now, what's the difference between a parable and a metaphor? A parable is just a story, a short story that uncovers some truth, uncovers especially some ethical value or moral value or something that Jesus wants to reveal to us, just like the kingdom, the mustard seed, the parable of the mustard seed, which reveal God's kingdom to us. But for metaphor, it's different. John especially used metaphor because he wanted to magnify who Jesus is, who Jesus was. And he wanted to magnify using an object or something. It's a figure of speech that he used an object or animal or something to explain, to illustrate who Jesus was and who Jesus is and the relationship between him and us. That's a huge difference. And then finally, we can come to this chart. You have seen miracles. Miracles that happens throughout the four gospels. But out of the 37 miracles within the four gospels, only 8 appears in John. And 6 of them are uniquely identified. It's only unique to John. It shows me something. It shows that John has really a particular thing, was really an eyewitness to all these things, because he witnessed the other six miracles. He was probably there. He has to be there. Because the other, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, was not there. They didn't see that miracles. But can miracle actually save? Can story save? Not really. It probably stir your curiosity. But stories and miracle is not enough to save. Only Jesus save. That's what John is trying to see. That's why it's so different. Now John worked in a perspective. John worked in such a different context that he's trying to stir. He said that you can put everything about Jesus, write everything about Jesus, but nothing, no books on earth. You can combine all the books. It's not enough. There's no room to write every single thing down. So church, what is this gospel? Why is this John gospel so important? Because it's a gospel for the world. As you can see, his audience is for the world. Matthew is for Jews. Mark is for Romans, Luke is for Greek. That's his audience, their audience. But John, he focused on the world. As we can go through, as we go through the Gospel of John, you will find that Jesus speaks to both the Jews within his group and also outside of his group. So, and his theme, his focus, his main focus of all these things, is that so that we can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and we can have, by believing in Jesus, the term believing, you have to think about it. Believing means it's an ongoing process. You don't stop believing in something, you keep believing and believing that you may have life. So only through Jesus Christ that you may have life. So church, You see this? This is when John written this, he was having a mindset of, this is not the gospel just for my people. It's not the gospel just for me. I cannot withhold it in myself. I have to reveal to every single living thing, every single human being, who Jesus really is, who Jesus really was. Now, we come down to the author. With this author, when you read through John, you will find that you can't see anywhere about the author. The author names was undisclosed, intentionally taken off, unnamed. When the scholar found the script. So when you go through John, there's only two Johns who appear in the Gospel of John. One is John the Baptist, which is the cousin of Jesus, and the other one was the Simon Peter's father, John. But those of them were not the author. But how do we know that the author is John? Because there are some. There are some. When you read through, there are some clues that is given to us. Let me show you the author. Why is the author important? Because you can see the transformation of the author, John. So who is this John? This John is one of the 12 apostles that Jesus selected. And now the 12. When I say the 12 apostles, I'm not saying it is one of the stone on Great Ocean Road. All right, he's one of the real deal. One of the real people that follow Jesus, eat with Jesus, sleep with Jesus, and minister with Jesus, and go everywhere on a mission trip with Jesus. So he has seen Jesus, touched Jesus. And he's known as the son of Zebedee. That's his father. The father was a fisherman. He came from a fisher, probably a fishery business. And he has a younger brother. He has a younger brother of James. And as the Bible disclosed to us, that John and James was called by Jesus. The moment that Jesus saw them and called them to ministry, called them to follow, you follow me, come and follow me, they just ditched their father, ditched the sheep, and ditched everything and followed Jesus. Sometimes it's just when I read the story like this, I admit, oh, it's impossible. If Jesus were here today and asked me, say, Jimmy, come and follow me. Will I ditch everything and follow him? What sort of faith does this John has? What gives him that faith to put everything aside to follow Jesus? Then he was given a name. He was given a nickname. It is hilarious. Jesus saw him and said, you are the son of thunder. What does that mean? Most scholars could agree that it means hot temper, short temper. It means that John was a young man. John was probably a hot temper as Jesus observed him. So I thought to myself, wow, if he's such a short temper person and Jesus can select him as an apostle to follow him, why not me? Why not us? And then we look at as you read through, there are four times that it happens, you'll pick it up, that he's known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's a wonderful thing. He replaced his own name. Instead of saying it, John, he's a disciple, he's John, the disciple of Jesus. He replaced his own name in the Bible at least four times as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So you want to encourage the readers who read his gospel, read his writing, to actually put themselves. Who is the disciple who Jesus loves? Is that you? So you have to put yourself, picture yourself, that you are one, you are John. And he was the one who reclined on Jesus during the Last Supper. That showed that affection that he has for Jesus, that Jesus doesn't mind. I still remember when we sometimes after our dinner we were sitting in front of the TV and watching TV. Yeah, I loved the moment when either my girls or my wife just have that affection to lean on me, recline onto my chest. I will hug them. That kind of feeling. How would you like to be so close to Jesus? And when you read the Bible, you will find that These three persons is always together. Peter, James, and John. Somehow, everywhere where Jesus go, everything, the big things, big, or big issue that happened, Peter, James, and John is always mentioned, is always there. And then during the suffering, the crucifixion, the death of Jesus, he is the only disciple who seen through the whole thing. When Jesus was arrested that night, every disciple was gone, except him and Peter. But Peter left, denied Jesus, and he left. But John see it through. John see through the whole thing. He witnessed the whole thing. He witnessed the suffering of Jesus. He witnessed the crucifixion. He witnessed his death. Then Jesus entrusts his mother, Mary, to him under his care. This shows how Jesus trusts him, how Jesus trusted this disciple of him, this apostle that he had elected, that he used to call the Son of Thunder. And during the Jesus' resurrection and ascension, he was there too. Church, can you see that? This person, this man was right there with Jesus since the beginning till the end. Can we keep our faith from the beginning till the end? Can we keep following Jesus from the beginning till the end? Or are we going to be impacted by this pandemic, the news that is going around? Are you going to get distorted from all these things that is happening now? And look at it. Even after when Jesus is gone, he said he will send the Holy Spirit to you. I believe that he has the Holy Spirit because he was on ministry. The moments after the Pentecost, he went into ministry with Peter. And then later on in Acts chapter 15, it was mentioned that he met Paul. After Paul's first missionary trip, he went to Jerusalem, he met Paul there. Then not just that, then after that, he was exiled to Patmos. Now let's stop here for a moment. If you are John, everything seems to go fine until, even up till you met Paul. But now for some reasons, you're put in prison. How would you keep your faith? What sort of faith is this? If this faith is a lie, if it's just for you, you'll probably give it up. But no, the faith that we believe in Jesus is the good news for the world. It's for you and me. That's why John understood that. That's why he continued to stay strong and stay with Jesus and look upon Jesus at all times. Even when the time when he was exiled to Patmos, he became the longest apostle who ever lived. Apostle who died of natural cause, not because of martyrdom. He sacrificed so much for the Lord and God kept him. Why? Because God has a mission for him. That mission is to spread the news to the whole world. That the mission is for him to write down, is to compose John. Compose 1, 2, 3 John and Revelation. There are 5 books out of the 27 books that was written by John. You were thinking, wow, how did this person, he knew the mission of God. He understood the mission of God. He need to let the news out to the world. So he has to write it down. Otherwise, you will be gone forever. Church, why is all this thing? Knowing, looking, seeing through sort of comparison with the 4 gospel and the life of the gospel. The life of this John. Giving you this psalm, this comparison is just to let you know. If such a person like John can be transformed through Jesus, transformed by Jesus, what do you think Jesus can do to you and me and the world? If Jesus can transform the Son of Thunder to become a Son of God, could be transformed an apostle with a thunder-like character to be known as the apostle of love, What do you think he can do, Jesus can do for us? Do you have such a faith? So church, what do you see from this Gospel of John? Do you see just a news? Or is this a good news to you? I challenge you to read up. Read up on John. Because John finally, the way that John transformation, he knew, he leave out his name from the gospel, was because he knew there was no other name greater than Jesus' name. There was no other name under heaven that we can find that could give us new life, that could give us the strong faith, the courage that we have to live through this pandemic, live through this whatever life that we have behind the mask. I hope that the life that we choose is a life walking with Jesus daily. The Gospel of John. Is this just a good news for you, or is this a good news for the world? I hope that you will read up on John. My experience that if you want to read up the 5 books of John, it's going to take about 6 or 7 hours in one breath. My lecturer used to tell me, if you really want to get something out from the Bible, read it in one breath. All right? So for 21 chapter of John, you know, English was not my first language. If I can do it in 2.5 hours, you can do better than that. I challenge you this week to read up on John. Read it in one breath if you can. Or maybe split it up into a few hours or 15 minutes a day, you can finish in a week. Now for those of you, probably first time that you hear this, this is a good news for you. If you don't have a Bible, later on after the live stream, you will see some details there. Try to get in touch with me or get in touch with church. I'll find a Bible for you. You may be in touch with me. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much. So much that you have come to us and inspire authors, inspire people like John to write down your life. So that today we may have a document in our hand with so much information to allow that transformation in our life. Father, we can't thank you enough for all the grace and your love that you have shown us. That you will find every aspect to let us know who you are. And Father, I just ask that your Spirit will stir us during this week. Continue to know that we are blessed to be a blessing. Continue to stir us to know that you have given us this Bible. You have called us to read your words for the sake of blessing us so that we may be blessing others as well. And Father, thank you for all the blessings you've given us. Hope that we will not neglect what you have given us, but also honor you as our giver, as our protector, as our savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I got a song for you. As I say, it's going to be